Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise His wonderful name. We serve a mighty God.
We do.
We serve a powerful God.
We do.
We serve the Creator of the universe.
Amen.
We serve the Creator of you and me.
Yes.
It brings it personal, doesn't it?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
On and off I've been sort of pondering about doing some of the Old Testament stories. And there's masses in these stories. They're not just stories that are told for our historical benefit, but they're told for a spiritual benefit as well. And turn with me to Genesis chapter 6. You haven't got a Bible, there's some in the entrance area. Go and grab a Bible. It's always good to follow. Genesis chapter 6. I'm going to speak on the Ark of God.
Amen.
I'll speak on Noah's Ark. It was the Ark that God had designed and God invented. Why would you need a boat when you didn't live near water? Huh? Stupid idea, isn't it, really? Why do you need a boat when you don't live near a river? Pointless idea. Genesis chapter 6, and it says this in verse 1. Now it came about when men began to multiply on the face of the land, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God... Did you hear that? The sons of God saw the daughters of men were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves whom they chose. Now most of us have this thinking, God's only one son. Well, why does it say here in verse 2, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men? Think for a minute. It's not you. It's not us. These sons of God were the fallen sons of God. They were cast out. They were rejected from the presence of God. Satan was ruling and reigning then. And he caused these sons of God as they were. Note, were, not are. There is a difference. Yeah? They were. And they saw the women of the earth, and they saw that they were beautiful. They saw that God's creation, when it is literally untouched by sin, is beautiful.
Amen.
And it is said, and you can read through parts of your Bible, and you can read through biblical history, where it tells that angels took the women of the earth, and giants were born of them. And these people were dreadful people. They were cruel. They were debased in their attitudes. They sank into the depths of sin that nobody else had ever sunk into. They sought to create and do things that were totally ungodly. And God watched all this happening. Verse 3, it says, then the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, because he also is flesh. Nevertheless, his days shall be 120. Mm. How long are you going to live for, Edwin?
Well,
All right, you're going to live forever. Praise the Lord. Up until this statement in Scripture, men and women were living to the ages of around 900 years. It was a regular thing. Only got another 800 to do, have you? And 30? But then God sees the sinfulness of mankind and says, it's only going to be 120. And God begins a process on man. Now, I know a lot of people say, oh, you know, 70 years, and after that, you know. Well, hang on, God said 120. Is that right? The one where it says 70 years, he was moaning and complaining. But God says it's 120. And you know, if you and I will walk in right relationship with the Lord and walk in right relationship with the Word, we shall live a good and strong life. Because it is God moving and breathing through each and every one of us. We'll just read a little bit more of this Genesis chapter 6, and then from verse 4. Then the Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also were the sons of, when the sons of God came to the daughters of the men, and they bore children to them, those who were mighty men, who were of old men of renown. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. Sounds a little bit like we're getting that towards that stage even in our generation. Constant evil in people's hearts and lives. A denying of God. A denying of the right to speak the name of Jesus. And to declare the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. But if you're another faith, it's okay. You mentioned that you're a Christian. People pull back from you. You mentioned that you're a Christian and you've no government funding. Say you're multi-faith or you're a different faith and you can have as much as you want. But we live in a Christian country. Our nation and our prosperity that we had was built upon godly principles. Amen. Not heathen principles. They were built on the principles of God, of righteousness, truth and godliness. That is what brought this nation to a place of being the nation that ruled the majority of the world. Because it placed God in his rightful place and it honoured God. We didn't do everything right, I didn't say that. We're human, we make mistakes. But the heartbeat of the nation was God first, Jesus Christ, the centre of all things. When you place God first, when you put Jesus Christ in the centre of your life, God will pour out his blessings. He will honour you. He will cover you. He will minister to you. Verse 6, it says in this chapter, and the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he, God, was grieved in his heart. And the Lord said, I will blot out man, whom I have created from the face of this land, from man to animal, to creeping thing, and to the birds of the sky, for I am sorry that I have made them. God is not well pleased. But amazingly, in verse 8, God sees a glimmer of light. God sees a glimmer of his nature. God sees a glimmer of his holiness. 8 is the number of new beginnings. And it's verse 8. It's not a coincidence. But Noah found favor in the eyes of God. Noah found favor in the eyes of God. Suddenly, God saw something in mankind that remained of himself. That's what he saw. Something that remained of himself. A righteous man, it says. A blameless in his time. Although all these things were going on around him, he'd not participated. Amen. He'd not got involved with them. He was righteous. He was blameless. He was upright. He was a man that when he walked through the place, people recognized there's something different about Noah. He had three sons. And they were upright. And then in verse 13, God said to Noah, "The end of all flesh has come before me. For the earth is filled with violence because of them. And behold, I am about to destroy them with the earth." Wow. God says to him in verse 14, "Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. You shall make the ark with rooms and shall cover it inside and outside with pitch. And this is how you shall make it." We were talking the other day, last Wednesday, weren't we, about the Ark of the Covenant. This is the ark. God has always created an ark. Yes. The ark is the way of escape.
Yes. Amen.
Praise God. It's the way of salvation.
Yes.
It's the way to freedom.
Praise God.
And he said to Noah, "I want you to build an ark." I guess Noah thought, "What's an ark?" He's, 500 and some years, and he's never seen an ark in all of that time. And suddenly God says to him, "I want you to build one." Really? What's it do? What's it look like? What's its function? Can you imagine this conversation going on? He hasn't got a clue what he's talking. It's like somebody bringing a computer to you and you've never seen one before, and they start telling you, "You just do this, you just do that, you click here, you click there," and you're thinking, "What are you doing? It's, don't know what you're on about." I remember the first time we had a computer, I didn't even know how to turn the thing on. It's a box, And here's God saying to him, "I want you to build an ark." What's one of them? God begins to explain to him what it looks like. So I did some looking at some of the measurements. The total floor area of the ark. Right? Are you ready for this? I'll make it easy for you. It's about 12 soccer fields. If I give you in square footage, you won't have a clue what I'm talking about. But it's about 12 soccer fields. That's the area that was the living quarters. Now, most of you have probably seen a football pitch, a soccer pitch, haven't you? Imagine 12 of those. I don't know, whichever way you want it, love. You can have it end to end if you want. Well, the shape of the thing, let me give you some basic numbers, first of all right. It was 45 foot wide. Wait a minute, sorry. What did I say? Wait a minute. Where's my figures? I've lost my figures here. Where are you? What verse are you in? Verse 15. 300 cubits, 50 cubits, and 30. Yeah. That's right. So, a cube, yeah, so the length of it is 450 feet. And the breadth, the width of it was 75 feet. Right? So, 75 feet. That's nearly the width of a football pitch, isn't it? So, it's, you know, I mean, what's this place? This place here that we sat in today, how's this wide?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
That's 10 yards, so that's 30 foot. Right? So, going to there. So, from there to there, in through there, and double it, was its width. So, probably actually from here to there is the width of the thing. And God gives this task to a man and says, I want you to build this, and I want you to put 3 decks in it. And I want you to seal it with pitch inside and outside so it doesn't leak. God seals us with the Holy Spirit inside and outside so you don't leak. So the area that is the living quarters is as big as 12 soccer fields. Can you imagine walking around that lot? Imagine the noise that's going to be in the place. And this thing that he's going to build, this ark, he's going to weigh 14,000 tons. Now, an average car these days is about a ton. An average family-sized car is about a ton. So you've got 14,000 cars is the weight of the ark. Now, God didn't tell him to put a rudder on it. And just, I want it to float. That's all you need to do is float. That's a real good spiritual principle, by the way. Learn to float in God. Just cast all your care on him and float. And let him carry you. You see, the water carries the ark. Well, let God, the word says, underneath and round about are the everlasting arms. So let God carry you. Better get back to this ark, haven't we? The size of this ark can actually accommodate 31,000 animals. There's 8 people on the ark and 31,000 animals. Food and whatever. But you start thinking, don't you think, who's going to feed that lot? I'm going to share a few secrets with you, hopefully. And so Noah sets about building this ark, and he gets on with it. And I'm sure that, you know, people would have come by and sort of, we used to sing a chorus, knock, knock, hammer, hammer, saw that wood. Knock, knock, hammer, hammer, saw that wood. Knock, knock, hammer, hammer, saw that wood. Noah built an ark as fast as he could. Took him 120 years. 120? The age of man, the lifespan of man. He said, it's going to take a lifespan to build this ark. That's interesting. It's going to take a lifespan to build this ark. For it to be ready. This ark. You and me. It's going to take a lifespan. And God's going to do it on you and me. So Noah's building. And you can imagine people would come by and say, let's go and see what Noah... I'm a bit bored today. Shall we go and see what Noah's up to? He was round the other week and he was spouting off and saying that God's going to flood the earth. And they laughed at him. They laughed at him. They thought he'd lost his marbles. Well, I mean, purely the fact that he's even chopping wood down and building this boat-type thing, and that he expects the animals to go into this ark with him, and then he's telling them that from the sky, water will come down. Now today, you and I know that we know water comes down from the sky, don't we? You know, we even make umbrellas so we don't get wet. But in the days of Noah, it had never, ever rained. It's in the Bible. It had never, ever rained before. They had never seen water come down out of the sky. It says in the Word of God that every evening a mist came up from the ground and it watered the earth. We lived in a climate. We lived in a beautiful climate. And it didn't rain. And there was this mist that would water the earth and plants were watered and refreshed in that manner. And then suddenly they're being told, I'm building this ark to float because water's going to flood the earth and it's going to come down from the skies. And they're all like, yeah, okay. What's he been having? Huh? He's nuts. He's lost it. And they would come and watch him. Maybe they'd come and jeer. Maybe someone would come along and say, I think I'll give him a hand. You know. Just humour him a bit, maybe. But he built this ark. Took him 120 years. Three decks, a lower deck, second deck, third deck, for the animals to go into. There was one window in the ark. That's all. Just one window. Genesis chapter 7. Just before we go into 7, we'll look at verse 22. Thus Noah did according to all that God had commanded him to do. So he did. Verse chapter 7 and verse 1. Then the Lord said to Noah, enter the ark, you and all your household, for you alone I have seen to be righteous before me at this time. God looks for righteous people. People doing the right thing according to God's word. And when God sees righteousness, God's eye is upon you. And he sees righteousness being done. And he saw the righteousness of Noah and he's rewarding him and his family. In verse 2 it says, you shall take with you... Well, let me ask this question. How many animals did he take into the ark? slow down a bit. But how many did he take into the ark? Don't know. How many? Yeah, all right. But what time? What? How did he do it? 2 by 2. 2 by 2. We, you know, there's that song, isn't there? That's the one. That's the one I was trying to think of. The animals came in 2 by 2. Hurrah! The animals came in 2 by 2. Hurrah! Hurrah! You see, now your mind, your understanding, your knowledge has been gained through a song. Well, they did come in 2 by 2. But what God said was, take 2 of every unclean animal, male and female. But of every clean animal, take 7 2s. 7 2s. 7 is the number of perfection. Take 7 of them. Can you see the emphasis from God? God is on the things of purity. God will always honor purity, holiness, righteousness. So verse 2, he says, you shall take with you of every clean animal by sevens, of male and female, and of the animals that are not clean, 2, male and female. So many people, you ask people today in church, how many animals did he take in? And they say, well, how did the animals go? They went in 2 by 2. He took 2 of each type. No, he didn't. He took 2 unclean and he took 7 pairs of clean animals. The emphasis is God is saying, he's looking after that which is clean. And 7 pairs of birds. God knows what he's doing. God knows what he's looking for. Verse 6 of chapter 7. Now Noah was 600 years old when the flood came upon the earth. I'll give you another one. 6 is the number of man. The end of man. It's the number of man. So when Noah gets to 600, God says, that's it. That's the end. I'm destroying it all. And it begins to rain. And it rains. Not did it only just rain, but it says that waters burst up from the earth. And it flooded the whole earth. You know, there's a belief that... Can you imagine if there's 31,000 animals in this ark? Who fancies the job of feeding them? Hey? I mean, if that's 31,000 animals and there's 8 of us to do it, you'd never sleep, would you? Huh? You'd be absolutely worn out, wouldn't you? It's hammering down with rain on the roof, right? And there's 31,000 mouths to feed, plus 8. Well, let me just share this with you. You think God's not smart enough to be able to cause these animals to go into some form of type of hibernation? Slow things down. Just ease the pressure. Just a thought. You know why I say that? Because my God's God. He's not just any God. He's the God. Right? See, I won't fancy the job of feeding 31,000. I mean, just on round numbers, that would mean that for each and every, we would have 4,000 for each person to feed every day. Can you imagine? Joan, you've got elephants today, rhinoceros, hippos, you know, all big stuff. Eh? You'd be saying, and then somebody say, I'll volunteer for birds. They're easy, aren't they? Just took a few seats around. Eh? You can get grass for elephants. And no, something else happened. We're not told it exactly. Can you imagine the mess to clear up if they were feeding them all every day? Eh? Elephant job, eh? Look at that one. Come on, Joan, get it cleared up. Something else beyond what we understand happened at that time. You hadn't thought of that one, had you? No. And neither had she, because she makes a mess now and again, bless her. I hope that's not going on tape, the noises you're making. Verse 16 says, and the Lord and those that entered, male and female of all flesh, entered as God had commanded him, and the Lord closed it behind him. God closed the door. Noah didn't close the door. Because if Noah closed the door, he could have opened it. But God closed the door on him. See, when you see somebody panicking or needing help, you'd volunteer to help. Noah's a righteous man. Yeah. The flood starts to come and people start seeing this rain coming down from the sky, and you can imagine there's panic suddenly striking into their lives, and suddenly they're saying, I think that guy, Noah, might not be a fruit and nutcake the way we thought he was. Maybe there is something true about what he's saying. Maybe we need to get in the ark thing that he's built. So you can imagine, quite a few people are heading that way. They're banging on the door. Let us in. Let us in. Come on, let us in. He said, I didn't shut it. I can't open it. I can't let you. It was only a window. There was no way to go out. You've seen these artists' impression of the ark, you know. Nice shaped boat, little house on the top, you know, not a house on the prairie, house on the ark, you know, on the top, and a little piece that goes round. And you're thinking, they could walk round, couldn't they, whilst it was raining? Do you like to go out in the rain? Not really, do you? And they show you that giraffe stuck with his head through the window, you know, and look round. It weren't like that. It wasn't like that at all. There was one window. It weren't for sticking your head out. And it weren't for getting people in. There was no way. When that door was closed, it was closed until God opened it again. Wow. So the flood lasted for 371 days. Absolutely amazing. Noah is trapped inside the ark with his family. Noah had been preaching for 120 years, repentance to the people during that time, I'm sure, because God is always seeking to bring people to a place of repentance so that he will administer mercy and grace to people. The law was not in operation. Grace was in operation. It says of Noah, and he found favor in the eyes of God. The grace and the mercy of God was towards him. The law only came in with Moses. But the sin in the world had just exploded. The problem is, when the sin of the world explodes, it brings a second wave of destruction. And all that was left was four men and four women on the earth. Let's move to Genesis chapter 8 and verse 6. Believed so. You know, it's believed that the earth just exploded with it in itself. You see, God gave to man the authority to rule and reign on the earth. God said to him, rule, reign, and subdue it. Be in charge of it. When the devil came, man lost his authority to be in charge of the earth. And literally the earth has tore itself apart. Sin brings destruction. Sin tears things apart. Sin never unites things together. It's a destroyer. Sin brings with it hatred all the time. You might find that there are people who are sinful who get together for a while, but suddenly the hatred between them, the jealousy that's there that sin brings, they begin to destroy each other. The love of God binds us together. You know, there's an old chorus that we used to sing. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together with cords of love that cannot be broken. Love is a binding agent. Sin is a separating agent. Sin separated mankind from God. Love, Jesus, brought us back to God and united us back to Him. Verse 6, chapter 8. Then it came about at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. And he sent out a raven, and it flew here and there until the water was dried up from the earth. In other words, the raven didn't come back. The raven is a picture and a symbol of an unclean animal. Because what does the raven eat? Rotten meat, roadkill, as we might term these days. It goes and it picks up that which is already dead and rotting. It's a clean up. Picks all the rubbish up. And there was plenty on the earth as the water was subsiding. There was plenty rotting meat. Verse 8 it says, then he sent out a dove from him to see if the water had abated from the face of the land. But the dove found no resting place for the sole of her foot. So she returned to him in the ark. For the water was on the surface of the earth. Then he put out his hand and took her and brought her into the ark himself. The dove is a symbol of righteousness, peace, truth, cleanliness, godliness. That's what the dove is a symbol of. And the dove flew out and found nothing that was righteous, found nothing that was wholesome, found nothing yet that was good, and returned. Verse 10 says, so he waited yet another 7 days, and again he sent out the dove from the ark. And the dove came to him towards him in the evening. Behold, in her beak was a freshly picked olive leaf.
Amen.
She'd found something.
Amen.
The olive is a symbol of new growth, of righteousness and of peace. It's a symbol of God's peace. And this dove brings back the olive leaf. And Noah knows that God's peace has now returned to the earth. What a time. Galatians says, Galatians 5 and chapter 5 and verse 16 says that as believers, you and I are not to fulfill the lusts of the flesh like the raven.
That's
what it means basically. Don't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Don't be like the raven. Don't be like the rest of the world. Be like the dove that finds the godly places to rest, that finds the places where there's life. He says in verse 12, he says he waited yet another 7 days and he sent out the dove. But this time, she did not return. She had found a place to rest. She'd found a place of peace. She'd found a place of blessing. And he knew then that God's plans and purposes were being fulfilled for him, his family, and all that were with it at that time. A time of new beginnings for you and for me. The ark of God, Jesus, is our ark. He's the one who gives us that new beginning. He's the one who gives us a hope. He gives us a future. He gives us something new.
Amen.
He gives us something to live for. Praise his wonderful name. If we look at verse 20 of Genesis chapter 8. It says, then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean animal and every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelt the smooth, soothing aroma. And the Lord said to himself, I will never again curse the ground on account of man. For the intent of man's heart is evil from his youth. And I will never again destroy every living thing as I have done. While the earth remains, he said, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Hallelujah. Never mind global warming. God has made us a promise. God is not a man that he should lie. He's totally in charge of everything. Now they've changed. It's not global warming, it's climate change. So tomorrow, if it's very, very cold, it's just climate change. If the day after it's very, very hot, it's just climate change. That's all it is. But we can tax you on that. That's all it's about. Another way to take our money. The earth has gone in the cycles all these years. And it is still here and will continue to do so until Jesus comes and takes us out of it all. Hallelujah. What was Noah doing in verse 22, in verse 21? He was giving thanks to God for his deliverance. He was giving thanks to God for his opportunity to continue to live his life in worship and service unto God. He was giving thanks for that. And he lived another 350 years. Giving thanks to God. Nobody lived as long as him after that. The lifespan of man deteriorated. He was a powerful man. He was a man that worshipped and served God. And against all odds, against all beliefs, against all understandings, he trusted God. He trusted the word that he heard from God. Yes. He trusted that word. Go on, build me an ark. Build me a big sailing thing. Because I'm going to flood the earth with water. He'd probably not even seen the sea. He'd probably only seen the river that came by where he lived. It's a challenge to one's imagination even to think that it could be totally flooded. But the great thing, God has made a promise in Genesis 8. Yes. He'll never do it again. And I know people say, well, look at all the floods we get locally. Well, there are other reasons for that. That's not God. Don't try and blame him. We've got that much tarmac. We've got that much concrete. And everything else. Where else does the water go to? We don't provide the drainage and the rivers and everything else to run it off. You cover everything with tarmac and you'll get flooding. You take up the floodplains. They're there for a purpose. That's why they call them floodplains. Put houses on them. And you take away the floodplain. The water has to go somewhere. God is still in control. And God has made an ark for you and for me, a way of escape. And that ark that God has made for you and me is Jesus. As in the days of Noah, so it shall be. God has made a way through us through Jesus Christ. And that we can enter into that ark. The word says, you know, enter in. Come through that doorway, that narrow door of the cross. Come through that cross. Into the ark of salvation. Into the blessing of God. And as you enter in, you find the peace, you find the love, you find the mercy of God, and you find that there's a future for you and for me. There's an eternity to be gained. Thank God. There's a place for us to go. There are things for us to do. I believe God is preparing for you and for me a future. A great future. And you know, God gave us another promise. He gave us the covenant of the rainbow to remind us every time we see a rainbow that God said, I will not flood the earth. I will not flood the earth ever again. So every time you see a rainbow, you say, that's God's promise. Now I know today scientists have said, well, the reason for a rainbow is, well, let me tell you this, that was the first time that Noah had ever seen a rainbow. Because it had never rained prior to that. And God left him that sign in the sky, the rainbow. The promise that I will never, never flood the earth again. Hallelujah. And God is a God who keeps his promises. We need to learn to keep our promises that we make to God, every one of us. And let God be the one who moves in our lives and brings us victory. He brings us hope. He brings us a secure future. And it is as we put our trust in him, as we walk into the ark, Christ Jesus, as we walk into the presence of God and say, okay, God, close the door on the world behind me. Amen. Close the door on my old life. Amen. Don't try opening the door when he's closed it. So many people are hammering on the door sometimes to get out. I want to go back to it. I want to try it again. It's no way forward. It leads to death. It leads to destruction. Go forward in God. Go forward in Jesus. Let the ark that God has prepared for you and for me take us on into eternity. Let us know the power of God as we live each day. Let us know the power of eternity living in each and every one of us every day of our lives from this point on. Eternity lives in each and every one of us right now to those who are in Christ Jesus. Let's continue to walk on in that. Don't try and get out. Don't try and escape it. Go with it. Let the power of God take you into a greater works. Let's see God moving in great power in your life. Amen?
Amen.
Don't try and build your own ark. No. Stick with God's plans.
Amen.
Let the ark of God, Jesus, take you on into victory. Amen? The Lord bless you.